So take your Bible and turn to Mark, the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16. And if you have been here the last three Wednesday nights, we've been doing a study on signs, wonders, and miracles. So if you go back to the first week, we did an introduction and looked at the purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles. And somebody remember why? Are there signs, wonders, and miracles? Now, let me ask you that like this. Specifically, what group of people are signs, wonders, and miracles aimed at? Israelites, Jews. 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign. Guess what? In the Old Testament, starting in the book of Exodus, God gave them many signs. Remember when they were in Egypt? The plagues? Those were miraculous things showing them that God was on their side and that He was going to deliver them, and He did, from the bondage of Egypt. As you go through your Old Testament, you see a lot of miracles. We looked at those 2 weeks ago. And then last week we looked at Jesus' miracles. So miracles are commonplace in the Bible. And oftentimes people will say, how come we don't see these miracles today like we see in the Bible? And that is a great question. Tonight we're going to look at New Testament miracles specifically in the church age. And then we're going to actually venture into the future. So three parts to tonight's message. Part one, signs, wonders, and miracles in the early church. Then we'll go signs, wonders, and miracles in the modern church, and you'll see a big difference. And then we will look at signs, wonders, and miracles in the tribulation future. Stay with me because this is a really interesting and should be a helpful study. There's a lot of nonsense going on in churches today, amen? You want to be discerning as to whether it is of God or not. Most of the nonsense you see in churches today is not of God, but it's being said, this must be from the Lord. So let's make sure that we use the Bible so that we are discerning. So let's go to Mark 16. Now, where are you in your Bible when you're in Mark 16? Last chapter, this is after the greatest miracle ever, the death, burial, resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's arisen from the dead, and he's going to say something to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Let's take a look at what he says. Verse 14 is where we'll start. And notice who, it's so important when you read the Bible. Find out who is being spoken to. And it tells you here at the beginning of verse 14. I'm in Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he appeared unto who? The 11. Who's that? Help me out. Give me some feedback here. Who's the 11? The disciples. Wait a minute. I thought there was 12. Minus Judas. Remember, he's gone now. He's already hung himself. So we're down to 11. 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now watch what he tells them in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? We should take that. But let's look at what else the Lord says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's a strong verse. Salvation has all to do with you believing on the work of Jesus Christ. Works do not save you. You can never do enough. He did the work. Amen? He died. He never should have, but he died willingly, sinless. He was buried. He rose again. That is the message that we are to preach, folks. Now, that's the message that the apostles preached. But notice there's something else going on here. Look at verse 17. And these, what's that next word? Signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hold on a second. Have you done any of those things? Okay, I'll just put myself to the test here. I have not cast out devils. I have not spoken with new tongues. I'm certainly not. Now, Frank will, but I'm not taking up serpents. I'm not touching those things. I'm not going to drink something deadly hoping that I survive or trusting God to survive. If I drink something that's poisonous, I'm going to probably be poisoned. All right? I have never laid hands on anybody that was sick and have them recover. Now, I doubt anybody here has done that either. So, what's the deal? Should we be doing these things? You have to keep reading. Let's finish it up. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where is Jesus Christ right this second, everybody? He's seated at the right hand of God. That's where the Bible says he went after he ascended, and he's still there. Now, he's going to get up one day, and the reason why he's going to stand up is to come back and take the church, save people out of this world. Amen. He's going to remain seated because his work is done, but he'll stand up one day to receive his bride. Amen. You part of the bride? Are you saved? You going to meet him in the air? You guys don't seem to be very excited about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You going to fly? The roll's going to be called up yonder. You going to be there? Amen. All right. It all has to do with, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have done that, your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. You will meet Jesus Christ in the air. We give an invitation right now and go home, right? Look at verse 20. Verse 20 is a very, very important verse in understanding the rest of what I'm going to say tonight. Look at verse 20. And they went forth. Who is they? That's the 11. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, watch it, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That verse is really important. A lot of people ignore that verse. So many times I've read these other verses around it and not ever put verse 20 with the context all the way back to verse 14. Folks, at this point in history, all they had was an Old Testament. That's it. The New Testament was not complete. These apostles were to preach, and their signs that they would perform would prove to people that they were sent from God. It was the proof. How did Jesus Christ prove that he's God's son? Signs. Remember, we saw that last week, John chapter 20, verses 30, 31. He did those so that people might believe on him. These apostles were given the power to perform signs and wonders. I'll show you a bunch of them here in a minute. So that people would believe that these men were associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they also, some of these disciples, think about Peter, James, and John in particular, just happened to write some books in your New Testament, but they hadn't written them at this point in history. So these signs accompany these apostles, and when the New Testament is completed, no more signs. Actually, you could probably back it up a little bit before. The New Testament is 100% complete. The signs are gone. Why the signs gone? This is the sign that God has given me and you today. A Bible. We don't need anything else. The New Testament's complete. We got all the scripture we need. No more need for signs and wonders for a while. We'll get to that in a moment, all right? So, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. When you get to the book of Acts, oh, I cannot tell you how important it is that you understand this. When you get to the book of Acts, a lot of people think that Acts is the model of how we ought to operate here in the church. Well, if that be the case, there's a lot of things going on in the book of Acts that I have never seen in a church. And I'm talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, hey, should we read Acts and learn some things about what we can do here in the church? Absolutely. But folks, let's see what's happening in the early church. Remember, the church in the first part of Acts is Jewish. And we already said, 1 Corinthians 1, the Jews require a sign. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 22. First point here, signs, wonders, and miracles in the early church. Let's look at the early church here. Acts 2, look at verse 22. This is Peter preaching. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So, first of all, Peter, in the second chapter there, connects signs, wonders, and miracles with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's move on. Go down to verse 41, same chapter. And this is still Peter preaching. This is the chapter where they speak in tongues, by the way. I'm not covering that right now. Pastor covered that here not too long ago in Sunday school. Look at verse 41. After he preaches to them, look at what happens here. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now watch verse 43. Very important. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by who? Earlier, Peter said signs and wonders associated with Jesus Christ. Now these wonders and signs are performed by who? The apostles, just like the Lord said in Mark 16 would happen. So Peter does all this preaching. And by the way, I skipped over it just for time's sake. Go back to verse 23 and 24 of chapter 2. You know what he's preaching? Christ died. Christ rose again. He did that for you. So then, at the end of the chapter, they're performing signs and wonders to prove that they are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Let's keep going in Acts. This is the early church. Lots of signs and wonders in the early church. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Go to verse 27. Chapter 4, verse 27. And here's Peter and John. They're preaching here in this chapter. Look at verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now this is a prayer here. He's preaching and he starts to pray. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of who? Who? Thy holy child Jesus. See, the apostles are connected with Jesus Christ with signs and wonders. Keep going. Next verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So notice, signs and wonders, and then they preach the word in the next verse. Isn't that what the Lord said would happen in Mark 16? They would preach, have signs and wonders to confirm the word that they were preaching. You with me? So this is coming to pass. What happened in Mark 16 is he said, hey, this is what will happen. In Acts, it's happening. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and look at verse 12. And let's see what kind of miracles are happening here. Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many what? Signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now watch 15 and 16. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of who? The shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Who's doing the healing and the signs and wonders? The apostles. It's proof that they are associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? There's a whole lot more on this. Go to chapter 8. A couple more verses here, a few more verses in Acts, and then we'll get on to this next section with the modern church, but we're still talking about the early church. Look at chapter 8 of Acts, verse 5. Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So there's the preaching. Look at verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the what? Miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies in them, and that were lame, were healed. Notice the emphasis here in Acts. There's preaching, and they're preaching Jesus Christ, but what also goes along with the preaching? Signs, wonders, miracles. Associating with the apostles with, I'm trying to repeat this so we make sure we get this. Those apostles are proving hey, this is not us. We are doing this in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Early church still. Go to chapter 14. As you read through Acts, you will find early in Acts a heavy emphasis on ministering to the Jews, the people of Israel. And then as you go through Acts, there is a transition. And Acts is a lot of transition going on. The one I want to focus on now is emphasis on preaching to the Jews. And the transition goes to preaching to the, help me out, Gentiles. Watch this. Don't take my word for it. Look at your Bible. Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But watch verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Watch this. Which gave testimony unto the what? Testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Are you seeing this over and over? They're preaching, and they're preaching Christ, but they also have signs and wonders to accompany them, proving that they are associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you getting it? All right. Go to chapter 18. Notice the Greeks are mentioned there. The Greeks believe. Some of the Jews believe. Some of the Greeks believe. But some of those Jews, they were mad. Go to chapter 18. You see these Jews get stirred up as you go through Acts. Look at chapter 18 of Acts, verse 5. Acts 18, 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to who? The Jews, that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, that's the Jews, and blasphemed, he took his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto who? Now, here's the Jewish man, Paul. He loves his own people, doesn't he? He actually writes in Romans how much he loves his own people and wants them to be saved. But here, he's had it with them. And he says, you know what? You're not going to hear it. So I'll go talk to the Gentiles. I'll preach to them because they want to hear it. Go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 8. Notice where Paul, he just said that in chapter 18, but notice where he still goes in verse 8 of chapter 19. Paul, he loves his own people. Look at 19:8. And he went into the what? Now who goes to the synagogue? See, Paul knew that these Jews didn't want to hear it, but he's going to tell them anyway. Verse 8. Synagogue, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Watch verse 11. Very important. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of who? Paul. So that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. It is very important that you understand, Paul also could perform signs, wonders, and miracles. It's really important that we get this. You say, was Paul an apostle? Oh, yes. Apostles had to be eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Was Paul an eyewitness? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ showed up to him on the road to Damascus. Remember, he did see Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Now, let me ask you a question here, and I'll get to this, tie this together later. But do you know anybody who was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ risen from the dead? You know anybody? I mean, personally, you know anybody? No, you don't. I don't either. You know what that means? There are no more apostles. It does not matter what T.D. Jakes says or any of these guys or ladies. Now you have apostles. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Folks, the only way you could have a living apostle, they'd have to be 2,000 years old. That didn't happen. There are no apostles alive today. So there's one reason why you're not going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles you see in Acts. Let's go on here and get a little more. Go to chapter 28. This will be the last thing in Acts. Acts chapter 28. Notice what has happened when you get to the end of Acts. Go to the last few verses there. Acts 28:27. And this is Paul. Look what he says. 28:27. For the heart of this people, talking about the Jews, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let me stop right there. You know what it is required today to be converted, to be saved? You've got to hear with your ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there also must be some understanding of what Jesus Christ did for you in His death, burial, and resurrection. And all you've got to do is trust Him, call on Him to save you. By the way, is that a miracle? Is salvation a miracle? I mentioned this prior. It is a miracle of a different sort than what we've been reading about. It is a spiritual miracle. One day to be manifested physically, but not yet. Folks, is there any better thing that you could have today than eternal life? That's available if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And many of you here have. So I think that's a miracle to go from death to life. To go from on your way to hell to on your way to heaven. Amen? To go from carrying your sins around to unloading those things. And Jesus Christ washes them away. Amen? It's a miracle right there. Look what it says. Understand with their heart in verse 27. And should be converted and I should heal them. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the who? And that they, that's the Gentiles, will hear it. And when he departed, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I am telling you what. Verse 28 and 29 tell you how things are today spiritually amongst most Gentiles and most Jews. Who's more inclined to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Gentiles. I'm about to go to a place on Friday where it's mostly Jews. That's why I tell Pastor and told all of you, I'm going to strange territory. Most of them don't want to hear it. Pray that I get opportunities to tell them anyway. And if they don't treat me very nice in spite of it, that I'll say, oh well. Because that's a tough place. I'm telling you, when you're outnumbered, it's easy to get discouraged. Because I've been there many times before and been discouraged because of that. Pray that that won't happen. But today, you know what the Jews are doing? I could tell them all these things. You know what they do? The same thing you see there in verse 29. They will reason. And oftentimes reason their way out of believing. Jews are very smart people. Not the only smart people in the world, but they have a lot of intellect. Most of them are very intellectual. They like to reason things out. And unfortunately, a lot of them will reason their way to hell, out of salvation. They'll reason their way out of salvation. It's really sad. Okay, there's signs, wonders, and miracles in the early church. Notice it's gone from a Jewish emphasis to a Gentile emphasis. Oh, by the way, what happens to these apostles? Eventually, they all die. But there's an apostle that keeps writing books. In fact, he writes Romans to Philemon. Who's that? That's Paul. Let's see signs, wonders, and miracles in the modern church. By the way, Paul's going to give you a lot of help in his letters about church age doctrine and how the church should operate. So with that in mind, go to 2 Corinthians 12. A little bit here on Paul. Notice that there's a problem here that you probably would not see so much in the book of Acts, but you see it here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, and you see it today. Oh, this explains a lot. Leave it to the Bible to just explain things. Very clearly. Look at Paul's problem here. Paul has a problem, and it's a physical problem. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul has a physical problem. Some people say that he had bad eyesight. That's the thorn in the flesh. Your guess is as good as mine. Bottom line, Paul had a physical ailment, and it was troublesome. So look what Paul did in verse 8. For this thing, I besought the Lord, how many times? Thrice, that's three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Time out. This is the guy that healed people's infirmities prior to this. Now he himself has an infirmity. So what does he do? He says, Lord, take it away. How many times? Three times. What's the Lord say, folks? Nope. Paul's prayer for physical healing does not get answered. This is the guy that had healed others. You see a difference here? Look at verse 10 and look what Paul says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So in the book of Acts, there's all this physical healing. Here, Paul is not physically healed. And the reason why is God wants him, God, to be glorified through Paul. And if Paul is weak, he will have to rely on the Lord's strength. So, hey, next time you get some kind of physical ailment and you're weak, remember, and maybe the Lord doesn't take it away. Maybe he doesn't take it away immediately. Remember, God's strength is made perfect in our... You know why? We are forced to rely on God when we are weak, and especially when we're at our weakest. Okay, so notice, here's the guy that healed others, and here, he can't heal himself, and the Lord doesn't heal him. You see a difference from what we saw in Acts? Let's go on here. Let's look at some more on this. Go to Philippians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians chapter 2. And you're going to see another issue here where somebody's sick, and Paul apparently doesn't have the power to heal them. See, there's a transition that's gone on here. Look at verse 25, Philippians 2:25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Watch verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Hold on a second. Paul was going to send this guy, and he did send him, but it sounds like he might have been delayed because he was sick. How come Paul didn't heal him? Didn't Paul have the power to heal? Well, at one time he did, but apparently not right here. What does the Lord do? It sounds like they were praying for him, and the Lord had mercy. It actually doesn't sound like it says. God had mercy on him. And it sounds like he got better, but Paul didn't have the ability to heal him, did he? Let me show you another one. Go to 1 Timothy, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now here's the man, Paul, who at one time had the power to heal, but notice now, it does not look like he's got that power anymore. And folks, in the modern day church, this is the case. God has not equipped apostles, because there are none, or men or women of any sort, to have the ability to heal others. Well, I'll show you this. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Look at verse 23. This is Paul advising Timothy. 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often what? Wait a minute. Paul is giving a formula for healing, and it has to do with something to drink. How come Paul can't heal anymore? Folks, Paul is giving a remedy for a stomachache right there, isn't he? Instead of saying, I'll come see you and I'll heal you. You know why? Paul no longer had the ability to do so. It sure does appear, doesn't it? I'll show you one more. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Now hang on with me because we're about to get some really interesting stuff here. Got to lay the groundwork. 2 Timothy 4:20. Right at the end of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 20. Look at what Paul says. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Wait a minute, Paul. You left the guy behind? Why didn't you heal him and bring him with you? You see, something has happened. There's a transition here. Here, Paul, one time, had the ability to heal. It sure does look like he doesn't have that ability as he goes to the end of his ministry. He leaves this guy behind sick. All right? Now, modern day, quote, faith healers, heavy quotes, if they really had the gift of healing, why don't they prove their ministry by visiting hospitals and nursing homes and healing the sick? I've never seen that, have you? We got Tracy here, she works at the hospital. Wouldn't you long for the day that somebody shows up and goes room to room and heals everybody? Folks, that has not happened. If these guys were real, they would do that. But they're fake. Let me show you their motive. You're in 2 Timothy. Just back up a few pages to 1 Timothy 6. Let me show you the motive of the modern day, heavy quotes, faith healer. Heavy quotes because they're not. Look at 1 Timothy 6:20. This is the motive of the modern day, quote, faith healer. 1 Timothy 6:20. I'm sorry, verse 10. 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Folks, if you look at Benny Hinn, you look at T.D. Jakes, you look at all, I can name a bunch of names, Rod Parsley, you look at these fellows, they have the nicest suits. They have the nicest cars. Some of them have the nicest jets and the nicest houses. Folks, they got lots of money. They're making a lot of money off of foolish people because they're not really faith healers. They're fakes. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on the modern-day charismatic movement. When I say charismatic movement, I'm talking about mainly your Pentecostals, Assembly of God crowd, that claim to have signs, wonders, and miracles. So, if you look at church history, it wasn't until late 1800s, early 1900s, until any of this stuff cropped up. You went several centuries, many centuries, where there was none of this. Then all of a sudden, early 1900s, you mean right towards the end of the Philadelphian church age and the beginning of the Laodicean church age? By the way, you can take a look at Revelation 3, and the rebuke of the church at Laodicea is, you're rich! But you're as poor as can be spiritually. And that's your modern-day charismatic movement. They got a lot of money. They got nothing to give you spiritually. Because that's what's needed, isn't it? Isn't that what's needed? Spiritual help is what's needed more than physical help. All right? Now, early 1900s, you had... actually, this is late 1800s. In 1879, you had an Arkansas holiness preacher named W. Jethro Walthall. 1890, a fellow named Daniel Alry in Delaware, Ohio. 1899, a guy named C.M. Hansen of Dalton, Minnesota. So this is all you can look these guys up, late 1800s. Then in 1906, you have the Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles, California. Of all places, Don, L.A. No surprise there. And the result of this heavy tongue-speaking, signs, wonders, and healing movement began to spread across the United States in 1914. This resulted in the formation of the Assemblies of God. Satan greatly at work in the early 1900s. And then the tongues movement came around throughout the early 1900s, and then it really hit a pinnacle in the 60s. The 60s, if you were alive, I was not alive, but some of you here were, it was a decade of moral, spiritual, and political emptiness. Would you agree if you're alive in the 60s? And that's when the tongues movement began to really pick up the steam and spread like wildfire. Then you had these guys come along. Oral Roberts, E.W. Kenyon, Jimmy Swaggart, Jim and Tammy Baker, Pat Robertson, Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Copeland. And they gave the tongues movement international exposure. And all that was needed was for the gullible nature of men to believe that they were telling them the truth. That's all it took. Now, I'm going to give you 13. You know that number 13, watch out for it in your Bible. It's a number of rebellion. I'm going to give you 13 beliefs of the charismatic movement. I'm going to go quickly. Number one, speak in tongues or you're not saved. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit being in you. That's what they believe. If you're really saved, you'll speak in tongues. Number two, they believe in physical healing. You know where they go? They go to Isaiah 53:5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Sherry and I used to have a neighbor that believed that there was physical healing in the atonement of Jesus Christ. If that's the case, you should never get sick. If you're saved, you should never get sick. Hello, I've been sick. Raise your hand if you've been sick. You're saved, you've been sick. The atonement did not take care of physical healing, but that's what they believe. Number three, certain people are anointed. These highfalutin men and women have these abilities, and they're anointed. Folks, 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. If you're saved, you're anointed by the Holy Spirit. Number four, this is a tricky one. Today especially, not for you all, but for a lot of people. God is still giving verbal messages. Folks, that's not true. He's not giving any truth that's not here in the Bible. The Word was confirmed with signs until the Word was complete. No more signs needed. All you need is the Bible. Number five, prosperity. If you're saved, God's going to make you rich, particularly if you're one of these celebrity preachers. A fellow named Jerry Savelle said, God wants you rich. It is part of our salvation. Charismatic preacher. What a foolish, wicked thing. Number six, dreams, signs, and visions are to be accepted without hesitation. A lot of people are doing that today. Don't listen to that stuff. It's foolishness. Number seven, watch this one. They overstress the power of Satan. And they'll talk a lot about how powerful Satan is. And they'll say, Satan's trying to stop me here. And Satan got in over there. Man, a lot of times you think it's Satan, it's your flesh. Now, I'm not saying Satan's not involved. But when you start to hear people talk a whole lot about Satan, you better watch out. Who's supposed to get the glory? You ought to talk about Jesus Christ about 100,000 times more than you talk about the devil. You talk more about the devil than you talk about Jesus. There's something wrong. Number eight, their music mimics the world. And I have been an eyewitness to this. Many years ago, I went to a service at a Pentecostal church. A kid I taught wanted me to come to this little concert they were having. And it was a concert. Oh, yeah. And what I noticed is the music was used to get everybody stirred up. And you had guys like doing this crazy dance on the platform. It was nuts. And they used that music to conjure up what they said was the Holy Spirit. It was not the Holy Spirit, but it was a spirit. Watch out. Number nine, overemphasis on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Folks, you read John 16 and John 14, the Holy Spirit is to give glory to Jesus Christ. When they start talking about the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, and there's an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit, they're out of balance. Watch out. Number 10, an encouragement for women to have authority in the church. I'll just say it's not biblical. 1 Corinthians 14:34, ladies, sorry. It's in the Bible. Take it up with the Lord. Doesn't mean women can't say anything, but women are not to have authority in the church over men. Amen? Amen. All right. Number 11. Miracles are glorified and used to authenticate a special calling from God. I've already covered that stuff. Many years ago on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson claimed he raised a dead person. But in an interview, he said, it was sometime after, he said, I can't remember where or when. Wouldn't you mark that date on the calendar? And remember that date forever if you actually raised somebody from the dead? He's a liar. That's what he is. False healers like Benny Hinn and Peter Popoff have used trickery to dazzle their audiences. In Kenya, many years ago in Kenya, four people left the hospital to be healed by Benny Hinn at one of his crusades, and all four died as a result of leaving the hospital. Nonsense. Number 12, here's an interesting one you can study on your own. If we had another week to do this, if I was here, we would study this one out. This is a really interesting one. Slain in the spirit. Where do they go, folks? They fall back. Study people falling back in your Bible. It's not to worship God. It's judgment. Study that out in your Bible. I'll give you some references. Isaiah 1:4, Isaiah 28:13, 1 Samuel 4:18, John 18:5 and 6, that's where Jesus says, I am He, and they all fall back. They weren't going there to worship Him. They were going there to arrest Him. He says three words, and they all fall backward. Slaying the Spirit is not a good thing. In your Bible, it's judgment. All right? Number 13, and this is going to take us into this last point. The charismatic movement is the binding link in the ecumenical movement. That's it. You used to not have Catholics involved in the charismatic movement. Today, you have it. You got a church here in town. The Holy Spirit Catholic Church up in Mims is a charismatic Catholic church. That was used to be unheard of many years ago. Now they're everywhere. Amy Comey Barrett, your latest Supreme Court Justice, is a charismatic Catholic. Watch out. That's going to be the binding link. Now, last point here. I got to go quick. Signs, wonders, and miracles in the tribulation. And as we get closer, you're going to see this happen more and more with people attracted to this. Real quick, 2 Thessalonians 2. Two places and we're done. 2 Thessalonians 2. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see it. The Antichrist will use signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, yes, he will. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, this is about the Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Watch it with all power and signs and lying wonders. The ministry of the Antichrist will be like that of your modern day charismatic, except it will be more of a sell to the people. People will buy it. It'll be a whole lot more realistic. But what is it called right there in that verse? Lying wonders. So he's got this ability to use that to deceive. Look at the next verse. And with all what? Deceivableness. Real quick, go to Revelation 13. Let me show you the last thing here. Signs, wonders, and miracles of a false sort, very active in the Great Tribulation. Revelation 13, verse 1. Revelation 13, verse 1. This whole chapter is about the beast. And you get to the end, it's about the mark of the beast. We'll take a look at that. Look at verse 1 of Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now watch verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to what? Watch it. Wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. What will be the selling point that the beast is the real deal? Healing power. You see it in that verse? Look at verse 4. They wonder at him in verse 3. Look in verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, you know the answer to those two questions at the end of verse 4. Who is able to make war with him? Who is like unto the beast? I'll tell you somebody better than the beast that will defeat him in war. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But people will be tricked into thinking this is the guy to follow. Don't you be tricked, folks. He's setting the stage now. Already, you're in the minority if you think rationally in our world. If you think biblically, you even put yourself more in the minority. Oh, well, we'll just be in the minority. Because the whole world will follow after this guy. Look at verse 12, real quick. 13:12. Verse 11, actually. 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. 13. And he doeth great what? This is most likely your false prophet. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And what's the purpose? Look at verse 14. And what? Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Folks, you see the deception involved in signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't be deceived. All you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. And all you need is your Bible. Notice what we did tonight. We did some rightly dividing. You make sure you rightly divide God's Word so you're not tricked into all this foolishness. So I hope that helps you. God's Word will keep you from being deceived. Folks, the status quo in the tribulation will wonder after the beast. They will worship after the beast. And when they take the mark of the beast later on in that chapter, their eternal destination is sealed. You can go to chapter 14 and find that out. There's no turning back after they take that mark. And it's all deception by means of miracles to get them to that point. Are you glad you're saved or what? You won't have to deal with all this stuff. But there are people that you and I know that will. I'm about to go to a place where there's a whole bunch of them. Pray for me. Pray for each other, that we'll reach the people that God's put in our life before this time, because great deception will be present. Man, hope that helped you out a little bit with all this craziness going on in our world. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. They just clear things up, make it as clear as can be. We see all the craziness in this world for what it really is when we look at your word. Lord, I pray that our folks here that are here in person and others listening would be greatly helped so that we are not tricked into all this craziness that's happening around us in churches. We would stick with your word rightly divided, and you would continue to teach us and give us the light we need to keep us from deception. Lord, I pray for any soul among us that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight they would call on Jesus Christ to save them. I pray for folks here that are saved, that we would just draw nigh to you ever so much more as the day approaches for your return. Lord, make us all to just be faithful to you and your word during this time. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm sorry I went over, but I wanted to.